Steve asked where I was going to be speaking out of this morning. Let him know that it was Deuteronomy, and he went to Micah 6, and we'll just start right there. 6:8, hopefully you've still got a turn there. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just want to open up your word and we want to unfold a little bit more of what it says in Micah and what it said in Deuteronomy chapter 10 of things that you require. Lord, we thank you for your word and how rich it is from Genesis to Revelation. There's just so much truth in each and every chapter and verse. It's our duty to unfold it, to unpack it, and then get it applied into our life. That's really the question right there. Will we just read it as words, or will we apply it to our lives? Father, help me today. Guide me. Guide my heart. Guide my mind and tongues and the words that are spoken. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work in all of us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and find the book of Deuteronomy. That's early in the Old Testament. Go ahead and get to chapter 10. And we're going to turn to, we'll start in verse 12 and we'll see how far we're going to get here. If you like an outline, this is what it is right here. You can write those letters on the side of your page if you want. R, then down the page an F, a W, L, S, and a K. Hopefully they make sense by the time we get done with this. Let's go ahead and read some. Starting at verse 12, we'll just read two verses for right now and then we'll see from there. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk humbly in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. So there'll be some question and answer times. There'll be just going through and looking at the different words that we see in the scripture. Don't give me the Sunday school answers. That's one of the dangerous things of those that are really well-churched, is we can easily give what we know is the right answer instead of having God really search our hearts to find out what's really inside of there, what the real answers are. So as I think about that, I think about Ezekiel and I think about Psalms and just, Lord, search us, examine my heart and soul, Lord. When you see sin, show me, show us. Give us the repentance that we need, that we can turn away from the idols and sin. So what was going on before we got to those verses? Well, before we got there, there was the Ten Commandments getting reissued. Israelites as a nation, obviously they kind of messed up as God gave them the first time. We get the whole golden calf thing going on, and then the commandments are reissued. Moses comes down from the mountain. The Levites are chosen. They're set apart. They're going to carry the ark. And then it's interesting just to take note of three things that it talks about earlier in the chapter about that. And it says that there's a stand before the Lord. They're to serve him and they're to bless his name. Those are all things that we should be doing, each and every one of us. But let's go ahead and just look at this text and just break it down just a little bit. And now for Israel. So he's just talking to the Israelites here, right? Only problem is saying that is we just saw in Micah the same thing that was talked about. Let's go ahead and turn to Joshua 22. And we'll look at verse 5. Only be very careful to observe the commandments and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and to cling to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. It's interesting that cling to, we're going to get back to that later, a little bit later, but it was also interesting that Chuck just happened to have a psalm that talked about clinging to the Lord. I think he might be trying to get somebody's attention on that. Don't know whose, but somebody, there must be a message there about clinging to God. So we see in Joshua that refrain. Let's go ahead and let's flip over to the New Testament, just to make sure what's all going on. Matthew 22, let's go to 22 and verse 37. Move back up a little bit. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. This is testing Jesus. That doesn't make much sense, does it? Just saying it out loud. I mean, say that out loud. I'm going to test Jesus. It sounds kind of silly, but anyways, was a great teaching moment, wasn't it? Teacher, which is the greatest command of the law? And he said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So now we see that it's in the New Testament, so it's got to apply also to us. Being part of the church and what God's doing, these things aren't just for the Israelites, but they're for today. And so let's go ahead and dive into a few more of these words. What does the Lord your God require of you? So first of all, who is this? It's the Lord your God. Look at all three of those words. Lord, it's the Master. Jehovah, ruler, self-existent one. I am who I am. It's his proper name. That you're in the middle of that. That makes it a personal thing, right? It's yours. It's mine. And then God, Elohim, and that's the authoritative one, the one that's sovereign, the one that's mighty. Stop and really think about that. Lord, your God is speaking to us. He's got something to say to us, each one of us. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God every single day. And to spend as much time as you possibly can get in it. I mean, it's so rich, so full of truth. I mean, how many people turn to Deuteronomy for their daily reading? I mean, I know I'm kind of a freak on that because I love Deuteronomy. I mean, it's just a great book because of verses like this, and we're going to dig out a few more of them that are like that. The other thing that I'll encourage you that I've encouraged you often about is read slowly. Let it marinate. Let it sink in. Let the Holy Spirit do some work in you. You know, if we just read it, speed read it. I told I think it was Denise, I said that I heard once, and I didn't check it out to see if it's true, but in 72 hours, you can read Genesis, Revelation. Now, granted, you got to be able to read, which counts me out, you know, and that takes me out of the picture, but somebody that can read fast can get through the Word of God in 72 hours. We can do that in our quiet time, though, in the morning. Okay, God, I've got 5 minutes. Let me read through this. Wow, that was good stuff. Let me go to work. No. God's not looking for that. I mean, it's great that you did something, that you were in the Word somehow, but to go slowly and think about these words, that's where really, really things go deep into our hearts. Let's look at that next word, require. So does God suggest these things? Is it, hey, if you got to, maybe you want to, well, you have an option here. No, when your boss says, I'm requiring you to do this or that, he probably means it, right? And God should be our boss. He's our master, right? And so God's requiring us some things. Because he says, of you. Doesn't say, oh, the guy next to you, somebody in my family, my next door neighbor, oh, that sinner that I'm really hoping gets saved. No. The Lord your God require of you. Now let's take a look at what he requires of us. The first thing that he talks about here. But to fear the Lord your God. So the object didn't change. It was a repeat again. Lord your God. As if he's trying to get somebody like me's attention. You know, maybe it's for you too. That he's got to echo things often. I love that about God, that he echoes things. So the Lord God is the object there. But what is he asking? He says to fear. So there's a couple ways we look at fear. There is, yeah, I'm scared. I'm scared of what God can do. I mean, he's the ultimate power. He's unbelievably mighty. We're going to see a verse on that. But then there's that side of fear that is just reverence. It's awe. It's trembling. It's just being wowed by him. I like how Chuck talked about that this morning. I mean, God had no plan here today, did he? I mean, he was thinking, he knew ahead of time what words I was going to talk about, what Chuck was going to talk about. Having a right view of God, it's just so vital for us. Why we need to spend so much time in his word to get to know who he is. I've told you guys before that I've been working on a project for a long, long time of things we can know. And there's hundreds and hundreds of things we can know about God. Things that he does, things about his essence. It's an amazing study. I sat back yesterday, I was thinking about how we can be in his presence. Think about that. To be in God's presence, the one that's holy, creator, magnificent. We can go on and we can be in his presence. If we don't take the time and study through the word slowly, we're not going to pick up on those things. I think there's a reason that he places that first. Although he's going to talk about love, and we'll come back to that. The fear of the Lord is echoed through Scripture over and over and over and over. 15 times in Proverbs alone. You know, the Book of Wisdom talks about fearing the Lord 15 times. Again, God getting our attention by going over things over and over. Think about this. Do you really live a life of awe of the most holy, jealous, omni-eternal, pure, different, majestic, magnificent God. Are you really in awe of who he is? I really hope you are. I hope you spend time where you just are stunned and staggered by the thought. So what does fear really mean? How does that get lived out? Well, it is getting a view of who he is. It's living on obedience. So when we see that this is a requirement given to us by the Lord God to fear the Lord God, that should be one of the things that we're doing. We should follow him. We should be completely surrendered. We should understand that he's the master and we're the slave. Think about that kind of relationship. It is a relationship that God's looking at, and we see that echoed over and over. The opening of so many of Paul's letters talk about being a slave. Let's go back just a moment over to chapter 6 and go to verse 13. Deuteronomy, and still, we'll stay there. We'll skip out a couple of times, but Deuteronomy 6:13. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. You shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name shall swear. You should not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are among you, around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. We talked about that jealous God a while ago, and again, just reminding, God is so perfect. He doesn't want us to miss out on anything. That's why he's jealous. It's really an amazing thought right there. Let's go ahead and look at what's next after that. To walk in all his ways. So how can we do that? How do we know his ways? We've been blessed to have Chuck minister to us, and now Michael, who are really good about breaking down the Word of God. But the only real way, listening to those that are teaching God's Word is great. Don't get me wrong on that. But to be in the Word yourself, and to have that pad of paper next to you, and be writing down what it is that you're being taught, to be able to go back, and I know that I say this often, but I'll say it again, we can too often walk away going, man, that was really good. Man, was that good. What was that first point anyways? It was an R. Oh, that's right, required. You know, we want to go deep into it and find out for ourselves what are the ways of God, because Genesis to Revelation, he unfolds his ways, what he wants from us. We saw that in Joshua, that he wants us to walk in his ways. Let's flip back over to chapter 5, in verse 33. We're in the echo principle right now, if you haven't caught that. I love it that God echoes so much. Just in these few verses, we're going to see exactly the same thing. And I'm okay with hearing exactly the same thing, because sometimes it's the 100th time that I finally get it. You shall walk in all the ways that the Lord your God commands you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. So much we could unpack there, but let's just focus on the first part. You shall walk in all the way. God doesn't want to have part of our attention. Again, he's talking about that he wants us to be all in. Let's do this. I'm going to do it with all my might, as he's going to say later. As I was reading through what some other people had to say, MacArthur had this to say: to conduct one's life in accordance with the will of God. You know, when we look at this and we think about God wants us to walk in that way, what does that bring to your mind? We're not running through it. We're going slow. We're going slow. And it's going to be at a pace that things will sink in. At God's pace. To be with him. Not running ahead of him. Not running behind him. But walking in the ways of the Lord. What a great challenge that is. Do you struggle at all with that? Yeah, me too. That's right. Heavenly Father. Lord, I look back at this week and I think about all the times that I was walking in my own way and not relying on you. I confess that that can come way too easy. Lord, I would ask, I'm thankful for your patience. I'd ask that you continue to teach us, and that this week I look more to you instead of self, instead of just letting things happen. Lord, that I'd search your scriptures, that they'd get my attention. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be teaching me what your ways are. And then I'd make the choice to obey you instead of flesh. Lord, I pray like it speaks of in Galatians that we need to put to death flesh. Lord, I know I've prayed that before and I'll pray it again, but I pray it right now. I really mean it. Help me, Lord. Thanks for your mercy. Thanks for your grace. In Jesus' name. Let's go on. What's next? Just three words. To love him. We've already seen the echo of that. We see how important it is, right? Those were Jesus' words that said it was first. It's first in the list. As much as I would like to rank them and put fear at the top of the list, it was first in this list, after all. You know, I'd like to put that top on the list. When Jesus spoke, Jesus said, top command, first in rank, first in order, is to love the Lord your God. That really is what we need to be doing. So if we really do love the Lord your God, and we do it with all that there is, and we're going to talk more about that, how'd that show up in your week, this week? How did loving the Lord your God with everything that you have show up in your real life this week? Did your family see it? Did your coworkers see it? Did others that God put across your path see that God really is your first love? Or did they see, man, that guy is selfish. He really loves himself. Or does he love something of the world? Where's our affections really at? When we get stressed out, where do we go to very first? There's so many things we can go to first. Is it really God? Do we get on our knees and seek him out? When we're uncomfortable, where do we go for comfort? Whose fame did we try to draw attention to this week? Where's our focus and attention on bringing glory to God? That is our end goal, is to glorify God. Did we do that? When God showed us something in His Word this week, did we really share that with somebody else? Man, I can't believe what God taught me this week. Maybe it was something brand new. Maybe it was something He's taught you over and over that clicked again. Who, where, what do we really rely on? Who do we stand on? Who do we cling to? Who do we hold on to? Those are all ways that we see that love of Him. Next we see to serve the Lord your God. So we're going to get to a verse in Mark in just a little bit that's one of the many people say it's the greatest verse in Mark that talks about how Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And we see that echoed throughout Scripture. So the question really comes, how do we serve the Lord? What's that really look like? What has God called you to? Because He's called me to serve in the race community. Hasn't called anybody else here, at least that we know about. Got a text again yesterday from one of the chaplains that works in dirt. I can't understand that racing at all, but people like it. No, it's cool stuff. I mean, it is neat. We went and watched a dirt race this year. But there's a guy, he covers four different series, and there's three of them. He's just got two other guys to come with them. And the one guy, after even the first season, said, man, that's way too big of a commitment. I didn't think you were talking about every week for 30 straight weeks. You know, and it was kind of like, yeah, we try to tell people up front, that's what the deal is. These guys make a commitment to be there every week, and so you do too, to be able to come alongside of them. But just like I've been called to the race ministry, I haven't been called to the stuff that you guys are serving in. But here's what's so important. Here's what's so important. Here's really the challenge. Are you serving? Are you serving? Or are you too busy with the things you're too busy with? There's things right inside this church that there are ways to serve that are gaps. There are tons of ways to serve outside of this church. Every place you go, you know, you see all the help wanted signs that are up. It's the same way in ministry, only we had those help wanted signs up way before this thing started, and everybody else had to join the party, you know. But find a way to serve, and then serve the Lord your God, not something else. It's a form of worship to serve. That's really clear from different parts of Scripture. Use that as part of your worship to serve Him. Just looking out for other people. It's one of the great ways to really test your humility. Will I really do something? Will I sacrifice something? Will I give something up to go help another person? Whether that's to draw them towards Christ or to encourage them, will I do that? Let's look at the next few words here. With all your heart and all your soul. So again, we're talking about being sold out. Let's flip back to chapter 4 in Deuteronomy. Can you believe there's all this good stuff in Deuteronomy and you've never really opened it up to check it out? I know I didn't really care about it the first few times I read it. But I was like, just get me through this thing. Verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search for him with a little piece of your heart and life. Oh, it doesn't say that in your Bible? I must have crossed those words out. No, what's it say? All your heart with all your soul. You know, the heart, the soul, those are things that are deep inside. They're like your essence. You know, and every time that I see a verse that talks about the heart, I'm immediately reminded of Jeremiah that it says that my heart's deceitful and I can easily trick myself, let alone somebody else. But there's so much scripture that points over and over and over to how God wants all of us. I'm also reminded of another verse that's in Matthew. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. We need to be asking God, God, I want to find a place to serve. Show me how to do it. God, I want to learn how to love like you love. I want to take those great verses that we've looked at in Mark that's told us about how Jesus was loving, and I want to love that way. Help me to do that. Help me to serve those that don't know you. Help me to serve those that do know you. That verse also ends with all my soul. 750 times in God's word it talks about the soul. That thing that's deep within us, our character, our will. All of it. God wants all of it. That's so hard for me. Every time that I kept looking at this week, I was like, man, what does that look like? If I give all to God, we need to be doing that. And to keep the Lord's commands and his statutes. To keep the commands and the statutes of the Lord. So we see the commands. Those are rules. Those are statutes, as we see. When you look at Psalm 119, it talks about precepts, laws, promises, truths. There's such a fullness, a richness to his commands. There's so much hope and there should be joy in them. You know, do we serve God out of a burden? Out of a, oh man, he told me I had to do this. Or is it like joy? Well, man, I can't believe that I get to stand up here. I can't believe that I actually get to clean the bathroom. For his honor and his glory. You know, every single thing is so important for us. Is there a delight? Does it bring a song to us? Does it direct us? Do we see the oneness there is in obeying his commands? Do we see the answers that he gives to us if we're willing to obey? We caught a couple of those in Deuteronomy. Just think about these things that he gives in about the commands. They're to glorify himself, therefore our good. That blows me away. It's so that we can see our sin, because he sets those commands, then we see how far short we fall of them. It gives us a standard to live by. He wants the good of things, so those standards are right and they're good. And again, they should never be burdensome. We look at statutes, kind of the same words. Ordinances, limits, decrees, issued by a ruler. The International Children's Bible Dictionary, a source of, no, there is some good things in it, and this happened to be one of them. And their definition of statutes was this: issued by a ruler or governing body, especially by God, who is the supreme ruler. Supreme ruler. That's profound. Staggering to think of. So it brings to us the question, it brings to me the question, one of the things we confess this week is that we went our own way, right? We didn't follow his commands. What reason is it that we don't follow the commands of God? Sometimes we'll put the commands of a man, like laws that we have in front of, laws that God puts in front of us. It's because we love our flesh and we want to be comfortable. Ouch. That one can hurt. So how'd you do this week? How'd you do when you measure up against the commands? How did you do this week? It's good for us to take those tough tests. So let's go ahead and look back what we've gone through. God requires of us to fear Him, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God, to keep, to obey His commands and statutes. Now we're going to get a little bit more of the why. Next few words. Well, let's back up. I skipped one word. It says, to keep the commands and the statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today. Today. So was it yesterday? Was it tomorrow? No, it's today. Today, right now. So it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. When you fell short yesterday, that's just going to be the devil bringing it up. God's not going to bring it up. Only the evil one's going to bring that up and try to remind you and try to get you to do the same thing today. We're not to tomorrow, so we can't do those things tomorrow. We can only do these things today. So the things that God requires, to fear Him, to walk, to love Him, to serve Him with all of our heart, we can only do that today. But then listen to what it is. For your good. This is for your good. It's for my good that God wants us to do these things, to follow Him. So God does so much for us. This is what I wrote this down this morning. I wrote down, God does so much for us. Do we recognize it? Do we recognize God being good? Do we recognize when He does good things? Let's take a look at what it says out here in Isaiah 25. The first verse says, O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name. For You have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. So are we telling of those things? Are we praising God? Are we exalting Him? Let's take time just to highlight a couple of verses that come after that. That was really the body of what I wanted to focus on this morning, challenge myself, challenge others with. But let's catch just a couple of things that come after that to wrap up. In verse 14 it says, Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heavens of heavens, the earth and all of it. God's the Creator. Out of nothing, He produced everything. It's an amazing thing to think about. Behold. That's good right there. Verse 15 has this little nugget in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on the Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them. You above all the peoples, and you are this day. Israel's been placed in a special place. We need to be on the right side of that. We can't really worry about the nation and the U.S. and making political decisions on that. It's whether we're teaching that in our families, how important it is, Israel. But catch this. The Lord set his heart. Man, that's an amazing thought. And then he chose. It's a good glimpse right there of how God knew beforehand. He predestines, he elects. Great truths that we see there. Let's catch verse 17 just for a moment before we wrap up here. For the Lord your God, we're seeing that a lot, aren't we? It's a great echo. Is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God. What great perfections and character that is. To think about great, that's not average, that's not good, that's not, oh, pretty good, pretty cool, just another one. This is the great set apart from all other. Mighty, mighty as in the mightiest, as in undefeated. Like nothing can overcome him. Nothing can overcome him. He can't be conquered. He's victorious in every way, in everything. And then the awesome God. It's so irritating how that word awesome's been taken over by culture. I know I've said that before. I'll say it again. But when we really sit and read, a verse like this, how can we not stop and think about and stop and worship and exalting of God being great, being mighty, and being awesome? It's staggering to think of him in that way. Yet that's a reality of God. Holy and righteous, perfect in every way. Doesn't lack a thing. I mean, we talked about the I am who I am, self-existent. Who's not partial and takes no bribes. That too is echoed in the New Testament in Acts 10:34. Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. It's echoed in Romans 2:11, Galatians 2:6. Verse 20, let's stop for just a moment there. It's an echo, I know it. I've talked about it all. Ready, we're thinking about it. I hope we're thinking about it. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, to cling to him. And by his name you shall swear. Verse 21, he is our praise. He is our God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. So back to verse 20. It says, shall. It's going to happen. You will do this. You'll fear the Lord your God. We can fear him now as we're alive, but then when we're at Philippians and every knee spout, and we see the true splendor of holiness, his brilliance, we're going to really understand the awe of God. What a thing to look forward to. But right now, we should be in that same place of awe and just thinking, like I said, where it talks about the presence of God, being in his presence. We need to have our prayer time like that, our time of thanksgiving, because let's look at that one more time, verse 21. He is your praise. I hope that you're in prayer of thanksgiving and praise continuously on your own, and I would ask that you would come and join us on Sunday afternoons as we praise and pray together. It's a great thing that we're allowed to do. It was great. We had a double circle last week. Hoping that that expands even more. So, reviewing what we've talked about today, I'm really trying to get this to sink in. What did we talk about today? What was the hour? What was the guy that talked at? Was that this week or was it? No, I was listening to an old message from Grace, and the guy said, "Man, I'm used to being in Spanish churches. You people are way too quiet. They talk back to me. When I ask a question, they actually answer it." It's pretty good. His teaching was excellent in Peter. What was the hour? Require, and who requires it? Lord, your God. F, what does that stand for? Fear. We're to fear the Lord. W, walk. It's a continuous thing, right? And in walk how? In his ways. In all his ways, that's right. The L, yep. And love who? Yes. Love him for sure. S, serve. And the K, to keep, to obey. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this really simple outline. And we confess as simple as it is, as I look back to last week, I fell short on a lot of these things. Lord, I am grateful that in the book of Deuteronomy, there are truths that were written thousands of years ago that apply today. What you require of Israel, you require of us. And you do it because you're so good to us. We're so undeserving. I'm so undeserving. And yet you want me, you want us to live in these ways, for you to be glorified and for our good. We'll talk about best practices in different things, in work or in other ways in life. These are like a best practices list right here, only that's really an inadequate way to describe them. Lord, you've demanded these things from us. Remind us these aren't suggestions. You really do want us to live these ways. Father, Father, help us to be intentional this week, to be sold out to you in obeying you and your word, drawing attention to how great, how mighty, how awesome you really are, to praise you, to give thanks to you. Father, you're going to have to shut down pride, my pride, my selfishness, for that to happen, for me to truly be doing these things with all of my heart, all of my soul. Father, we thank you in Jesus' holy and powerful name we pray. Amen.